Amen, amen. You may be seated. My wife said that it would be good for me to shorten my message today. I told Ono if he wanted to keep preaching that he could just keep doing it, but he told me, he says, remember, chaplain, not pastor. Whatever, whatever. God is doing something. He is doing something among us that I really believe is amazing. And I think that he's using the book of Nehemiah to build a family, to build a people that that is building back the gospel of Jesus Christ among us. And so as we have had these bricks in front of us, I want to just keep that in front of you and remind you of that, because God is building something. You're not here just to sit in a seat. You're not here just to to fill some kind of religious duty. You're here because Jesus Christ is building something in this place. And I pray that you know that. I pray that you are experiencing that. And as we've walked through with Nehemiah, aren't you amazed at all the struggle? Aren't you amazed at all the things that have happened along the journey of building the wall in Jerusalem? Don't fall over. It has been, it's just incredible the amount of issues that they've had. Isn't it incredible? And what about your life? What about what we just heard with Ono and Kim? Along the journey, struggle, right? Along the journey. And so turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, the 6th chapter. And I thank Doug for handing out the word of God to all of you. That is a joy, and I hope that you're opening up the word in front of you. It is interesting to me that in our era today, we live in an America that was built on men and women who led us to be one of the greatest nations in history of the world. But yet today, we are experiencing the greatest lack of leadership that we have ever in all of history, defined not only from our government, but from our industries, from our educational system, and yes, I am going to tell you this, even the church. We are experiencing a lack of leadership. Leadership is no longer the stance of unmoved men and women who know the course and are willing to pay the cost. But we are reduced to people who struggle making decisions and no longer have clear visions. Why is this true? I believe that Nehemiah has been trying to teach us it's because of the attacks that are coming from the enemy. The continual attacks of criticism, the deepening discouragement that is growing, which breeds, like we talked about last week, an internal struggle and develops into where we are today in the passage. Chapter 6 opens up a scene in which the enemy of Nehemiah are launching yet another type of attack that all of us have felt. It is the attack of intimidating distractions. Intimidation is to frighten by a threat. A threat to do this or that. If you do not do this, then I will do that. It is an intimidation is trying to scare you into, bully you into, terrorize you into a decision, and we see it daily. Distraction is an interruption that diverts our attention. Distractions are the attempt to move us from important activities to focus on something that is useless and a waste of human life. Now, as we get into this passage, God actually gave me a passage this week that emphasizes this point, and I would love it if you would underline it in your you can write it down now. It comes from Hebrews 9:14. It says these words in the NIV. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offers himself unblemished to God, cleansing our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. Now, I want you to hold on to the phrase, acts that lead to death. This is interesting. As soon as you think about that, right, you go to what Ono and Kim just testified to us. right, acts that lead to death have got to be things like drugs, things like affairs, things alternate lifestyle of relationships, all the things that they described to us that seem to lead to that thing. But if you believe that's true, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Let me give you another version, and I think it's going to make it even more clear to you. It comes from a Bible that was introduced to me by Carol called God's Word. And I'm so glad I have this version because it seems to sometimes clarify some areas. Listen to that same verse from this version. The blood of Christ, who had no defects, does even more. Through the eternal Spirit, he offers himself to God and cleanses our conscience, listen to this, from useless things we had done. Now we can serve the living God. Now I want you to equate acts that lead to death to useless things we had done. You see, distractions are useless activities of humans that lead them away from their God-created purpose. Your life, just like Nehemiah's life, is not your own. He could have remained in the king's court, serving up wine and being taken care of. He could have been comfortable outside of God's will. And maybe that's where some of us are living today. Comfortable outside of God's will. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says this, "Do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." That is exactly what Nehemiah was doing. He was honoring his God with building the wall. That's what Aaron has been talking to us about, but seeking. Aaron's been seeking God's will. He doesn't have to go overseas to do what God wants him to do, but he's been saying, "God, my body is yours. I will do whatever you want me to do with it." And God is showing Aaron the door. Have you done the same thing? And as we go to chapter 6 of Nehemiah, I think we need to have a moment of prayer, because there is no time in history where distractions have been manufactured directly to distract you from this life. No time in history, any time. People are working every day to manufacture things, to manufacture stuff on the media, to distract your life from doing God's will. And it is demonic. And it is a force that is at work right now. And so we need to pray that God will open our eyes to it, because individually we need to look at our lives and say, is that what's going on in my life? Am I living my life in God's will, or am I living my life so distracted that I can't even see it? So let's pray and ask God to open our hearts up. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage, and I just pray that, Father, that you will work in our lives in this moment. Is there any greater message that the pastor needs to hear than the one that he's preaching right now? I'm not sure. But I just pray that, Father, that you'll work in all of us, that, Father, we will see the distractions, and that we will understand the great situation that's happening, that, Father, we'll repent and return, for we desperately need to walk in your will. For this life is short, and we have but a short time to walk in the will of God. Father, may it even start today in some of our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. So as you look at the passage, chapter 6, some of yours might be entitled the same that mine is, Further Opposition to Rebuilding. It says in verse 1, and I think it's so important to notice this, then when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to this time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Now before I get to the message, I want you to understand it. I want you to notice the timing of distraction. Isn't it interesting to you that the timing is when it's just about to be finished? I think this is important. It's last week we talked about discouragement, and discouragement, if you remember, comes in the middle of the work, right? When the mess is like seeming like it's overcoming, and it comes in the middle. But distraction comes as the project is coming closer. It was the way for David. When David should have been out in the field bringing his army to victory, he was at home in the kingdom walking on the top of his tower and saw Bathsheba bathing. It's the same for Jonah, who had gone through the city for 3 days, sat on a hill, and experienced the greatest act of salvation in mankind. But instead of celebrating, he was distracted with self-pity. Joseph could have been distracted by Potiphar's wife, could have been distracted by the fact that he was forgotten in jail, but he stayed focused on God's will for him, even in the midst of all the distractions, and at the exact right time was made second in command of all of Egypt. What is the timing of your life right now? Why is the enemy trying to distract you? Could it be that right now is a time in which God has something for you? Right now, he has got something around the corner. He's saying, I've been setting you up for this. Your life is at this moment. Do not get distracted. But I think there's another thing is, Jesus is coming soon. No, Jesus is coming soon. Young people, Jesus is coming soon. I know you look at life and you say to yourself, well, it's always been the way that it always has been. But I believe Jesus is coming soon. I believe the distractions are increasing because he's coming soon. And we need this message as anyone else. So I want you to first notice just the amazing timing of distraction. I have seen people whose lives seem to be transformed by Jesus Christ. And they seem to be growing. And all of a sudden, they're gone. They were distracted. They were distracted away from what God was doing in their life. This family of God has been an amazing eyeglass for me to watch the Spirit of God working. How is that in your life? How is that in mine? The timing is amazing. As we think about distractions, I think sometimes we don't really understand what some of the distractions are that are out there. A guy by the name of Joshua Becker, who has authored two books. One was the book on the more of less, and the other book was the minimalist's home. He writes these 9 ever-present distractions that we don't normally think about. 1, the promise of tomorrow. We waste so many days waiting for the weekend, so many nights waiting for morning. The lust for the future, comfort, is the biggest thief of our life. It is not entirely foolish to look toward the future and plan accordingly. However, when we endure our days only for the sake of tomorrow, the weekend, vacation, or retirement, we miss out on the full beauty and potential of the present. 2, the pursuit of perfection. We ought to pursue excellence and pride. But doing our best and achieving perfection are rarely the same. When perfection becomes the goal, it becomes the enemy of progress. And in this way, it often distracts us from taking the essential risks of moving forward. 3, the regret of yesterday. To live is to experience regret. Nobody escapes life unscathed. We regret our actions, our decisions, our motivations. But no amount of regret can ever change the past, and only those who have come to recognize and admit their imperfections are able to move beyond them. Call your mistakes what they are, offer an apology when necessary, and then move on. Don't allow regrets from past to negatively distract from the opportunity in the present. 4, the accumulation of possessions. The things we own require our time, our energy, our money, and our attention. Every increased possession adds increased stress in our lives, and yet we continue to pursue, accumulate more and more and more. But more is not the answer. More has become the distraction. Fifth, the desire for wealth. Those who chase riches are have misplaced their greatest potential and traded it for the higher bidder. Our lives were designed for contribution, to provide a positive impact on society, for ourselves, our family, and those in our community. Sometimes our contribution provides financial excess. Other times it does not. But either way, when our contributions to society become chiefly motivated by selfish desires to accumulate riches, it becomes self-focused, and we have lost our opportunity to live it to the fullest. Six, the need for notoriety. The life you live is the life you live regardless if anyone notices or not. Those who live lives focused on the need to be recognized usually finds ways to take shortcuts to get there. Instead, find significant... I'm not going to read that. I don't agree with that. But if you're living your life to be noticed, you're living for the wrong reason. The pull of comparison. It seems by nature we feel compelled to compare our lives to people around us. We compare our belongings, our appearance, our families, and our successes. But each time we do, we place our focus and energy on the wrong person. Comparing yourself to others will always cause you to regret what you are not, rather than allow you to enjoy and grow in what you are. The appeal of pleasure. Many of us are led astray by appeal and pursuit of pleasure. Pleasure is not wrong, but when it becomes the focus, it is the wrong teacher. Most significant lessons we learn in life are rarely received during times of pleasure. Instead, they are born out of pain. I am not contending that we should seek pain in our lives, but I'm contending that a life lived chiefly for the pursuit of pleasure will usually seek it in all the wrong places. And finally, the presence of indifference. The world is a big place, and we have much to offer. Those who choose to live a life as a victim will always miss the opportunity to give. Additionally, those who choose to adopt an indifference to the world around them will miss out on their greatest potential. But those who recognize need and seek to do something about it experience a joy and fulfillment that can never be discovered anywhere else. So, so true. Are you living a life, a distracted life? And are you missing joy? Now, there are three subtle ways that the enemy tries to distract you. Let's look at those. We'll go back to verse 2, the second half of it. It says this, Sanballat and Geshem says, come and let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. Your name's in the Bible. Yeah, I love that. This is a personal distraction. It is a distraction of comfort. The plain of Ono were located in a valley about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. They were a plush vacation location, and the distraction for Nehemiah was to get away from the hard work and relax with his new buddies. It's so easy for us to say, you know, I've been doing this God thing for so long, I really need a break. Now, Jesus Christ did take time to pray, and he did take time to get away. But when your personal comfort becomes the distraction, it can take you away from what God is calling you today. How do I come against that? There is only one way. Let's keep reading here. In verse 3 and 4, listen what he says. He says, but they're scheming to harm me. So right, he has a discernment that even this comfort, called a comfort, is a harm to him. He says, so I sent them messengers with them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Now listen to this. This is the only offense you got against this personal type of distraction of comfort. Paul said it this way in Acts 20, 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. We must keep our life value and our call by God in proper perspective. If your life is not your own, then that means God can do anything over it that he wants. If that's true, then the most important thing of your life is to do what God's calling you to do. Amen. Do you get that? It is so true. It is so true. You're not your own. Now, this is diametrically opposed to America's teaching that you can do whatever you want with your life. But it's not true. It's not true. A young lady recently was supposed to go to the Dominican Republic with her family. And as she started to look at the possibility of a nice vacation in the Dominican Republic and God's call in her life and what would happen in that country, she came to a discerning moment in her life where one of the first times in her life she said to her family, "I'm not going." And I believe what I have seen in this young lady's life is life springing out of her eyes, is a new lease on life because she said yes to God and no to something that would not have been a benefit to her. Her life is not her own, and she did not follow the distraction of comfort. So how did Nehemiah know that they were trying to harm him? It's not stated in the passage, but it's interesting that God will give a leader discernment. He needs to realize, or she needs to realize, when distracting dangers are coming. Every one of us is struggling with the draw to comfort. Every one of us. The call is, will you let that distraction lead you, or will you not? And notice this in verse 4. The enemy does not ever give up. Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Guys, one thing that I have learned, and when I talked to the core team about us starting this church, I said, you know, we have a very difficult job in front of us because we have to teach these people how to fight against persecution. I said, I have never been taught that my whole life. The first thing I want to teach you is that the enemy never gives up. He never gives up. He's going to come after you and come after you and come after you. We're in a war, people. We're in a war, and we have to be on task. We cannot give in to distractions. We cannot let comfort become what takes our life. We have to fight the fight. If you believe that, that is foundational for you to be victorious in this world, for your life to be victorious, and for you to throw distractions aside and to begin to walk the life that God has for you. And you know what? It's really sad that for the past 70 years, that's never been taught. And it's about time, because the war is intensifying. Anu and Kim, I mean, come on. You saw a war up in front of you. They were holding hands. There's a peace among them. But did you hear the war? Oh, yeah. He wanted to destroy them. Absolutely. And it's every one of our lives. He wants to destroy us. And it's time for us to stop it. To not let the distractions take over our life. And to stand up and to say, my life is Jesus Christ, and I will follow him no matter what the cost. If you were Baptist, I'd heard amen on that, but my goodness sakes, come on. What Pentecostals, you're among us? Come on. Let's see a little hallelujah, Jesus, you know? Come on. Let's go. Second thing is in 5 and 7. It says, then the fifth time Sanballat sent this, his aid to me with the same message, but look at what's added. And in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, listen to this. It is reported among nations, and Gershom says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation among you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come and let's meet together. The second type of attack that comes is public intimidation. When the enemy doesn't get his way, he will turn it to public lies. Now, did you notice in there that Sanballat had written, this is the way that the ancients used to bring a king forward. So, I mean, he was giving supposedly the detail, right? Because they would anoint a king in Judah, And then there would be runners that would go ahead and they would blow the trumpets and say, there's a king in Judah. And that is exactly how they would do it as the ancients. And so not only does he have this very detailed saying he's heard this, but of course one of his cohorts, Gershom, says it's true. So it's got to be true, right? It's got to be true. Public intimidation. We have seen a growing of this in our country. Do you remember one of the first times you've heard this public? It's probably not the first time, but one of the things that really came out loudly in front of our eyes. Do you remember when Judge Kavanaugh was being brought before the committee to consider his qualification for Supreme Court? And all of a sudden, a sexual question came from his background, and supposedly they had a woman that supposedly was bringing accusations forward. Of course, as it was investigated, none of it was true, and even the woman herself was unclear or unable to bring forward a witness. And so it all kind of slowly went away, and he was nominated as a Supreme Court judge. But it's very interesting that we've learned something new about our new America. And that is, people can lie publicly to destroy the character of another, and there's no justice that's required. That is so sad. But you know where that comes from? It comes from a country that has adopted the belief that there's no absolute truths. And because of that, we can do that publicly. That is the new America that we live into today. And so this response is a public thing. But look at how, I want you to notice how he responds to this. In verse 8, it says this, and 9, I sent him this reply, nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up in your own head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hand would get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. The interesting thing is this, that that when you're being accused and somebody is trying to publicly intimidate you, that you do not need to give in to it. People, God, you don't think this is true? I have had this happen to me personally more than once in this church already. In 6 years, I have had different people try to publicly intimidate me and to come up against my character. In 6 short years, it's happening. And I can guarantee you, if you're standing up for Jesus Christ, it's going to happen in your life. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11. He said, wisdom will be found out in the end. You live in truth. You live in Jesus Christ. You do that honestly before him. And what Anno and Kim did in front of our face today by not letting things be hidden, but bring them out. You're not just fine. It's okay. Be honest about that. And you live in the truth of Jesus Christ, honestly, wisdom will be found out in your life. Your life will stand on wisdom. And even your accusers who come against you will be put to shame by your good acts in Christ. That's what it is. Don't give up. Don't give in to personal intimidation. But notice the third. It blows my mind away. This is God's word. And the third, what does it say? It says, one day, I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up in his house. Oh, they had stay-at-home orders during that time too. He said, let us meet in the house of God. Inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. Now listen to this. It's called religious intimidation. To use religion as a means of escape. That is wrong. That is wrong. Shemaiah was trying to get Nehemiah to hide from the danger of the possible death in the church. Now, on the surface, you might say to yourself, well, now, wait a minute. Don't I find safety in the presence of God? Yes. It is true that salvation is a safe and secure place to be for all mankind. In fact, it is, Chuck, right? It's the only safe place in the world. There is no other safety. You can have a million locks on your door, but it does not provide safety for you. The only safety is in the arms of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay. I was hoping to get something out of that. But you know what? Religion is not about running away from your issues. It's about facing them head on. It's about gaining the strength to know who you are in Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Did you hear her? Did you hear both of them talk about they didn't know who they were? That was the biggest problem. So what happened because they didn't know who they were? All kinds of crap in their life. But once they knew who they were, they stood up in front of this church and they testified to Jesus Christ. And they said the most important thing about our talk today was not about us, it was about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that is what true faith is. It is knowing who you are, and it is standing up in who you are, looking at the sin that has been trying to destroy you and say, in the name of Jesus, get out of me. I don't need you anymore. I have Jesus in my life. And then living your life in a confidence and in a belief that the steps you are taking are His. And as you take them, you walk in boldness and in faith and in truth. People of God, it's time to stand up. It's time for boldness in Jesus Christ today. But you're never going to get there unless you know who you are in Him. And even in church, you can be intimidated by religion that says, you're safe, you're good. In that seat, you're good. That is not the army of Jesus Christ. The army of Jesus Christ has the helmet of salvation on, the breastplate of righteousness. I'm right with God because of Jesus. They have the belt of truth. I will stand on the truth. They have the feet fitted with the gospel of peace. I love you. That's why I'm saying these things. I'm not saying these things because I hate you. I'm coming to you in like bitterness and anger. I'm saying this because it's true. And I know it might scrape up against you. I know it might hurt. The truth might hurt. But you know what? It's still true. And if you follow Him, it's true. You're now walking in truth. You have the shield of faith, which is a gift from God, and the sword of the word, which is the word, which is true. Which is true. And that is what God is calling us. He is not looking for us to come here and to, right, run away. He's calling us to come here and to make a stand for truth. And that's exactly, you see that? Nehemiah got it. But I said, should a man like me run away? No! Oh, did you hear that? I did, yeah. Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. Isn't that awesome? Only time that I approve not going to church. Don't go there to run away. When you come here to make a stand. Stand for Jesus. There's people that, this is free, no extra charge. There are people have used the church to run away. They have come to the church because they think they can get financial support. I got a call this week. From somebody who says, hey, I'm in financial need. Do you think the peer could help me? I said, let's talk. Come to church on Sunday. Guess what? It's running away. It's running away. I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to stay right there. I could go on and on, but we don't have time for that. But you get it? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Nehemiah got it. And what did he do? He realized, right, in verse 12, that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because of Tobiah, and Sanballat had hired him. Do you think there are hired pastors out there not telling the truth? Absolutely! If they're not in this word, they're hired to lie to you. Because I can't make this stuff up. It's from God's word. And if I'm not telling you God's word, don't listen to me. Don't listen to me, and you shouldn't listen to anybody else. And so he had been hired to intimidate me so that I would what? Commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. I love that. A godly leader is called to stand steady and not to, listen to me, not to give in to emotionalism and circumstantial stuff. A leader who bends under the wind of struggle cannot be trusted. That is exactly what Tobiah and Sanballat was trying to do. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? God has promised us that our strength in time of worldly overcoming is His Son. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome. Faith says He has already overcome anything I face, and even if it never goes away, I have already overcome it. Amen? That's what faith is. It's not waiting for God to show up so He can prove Himself. It's that in Jesus Christ, He's already proved Himself. I don't need anything more from Him. I'm already blessed. I will walk through this. Even if God does not take this away from me, I will believe Him to be my overcomer, even if it takes to heaven to get it. And of course, right? So he gets that. Do you get that? Don't use this church as a place to hide. Use this place as a place where you allow God to let your heart come out and you become real and true and honest like Anu and Kim told us to do. Verse 14, we hear that it says, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah, and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. Unbelievable. But remember, vengeance, submission, giving it to God, your enemies. Instead of taking vengeance in yourself, you give it to God. Now, this is cool. What's the next verse? Somebody read it to me. So what? The wall was completed. What? The wall was completed. No, you're not getting this. I mean, come on. Some of you have been under the persecution of criticism for years. You've been under the persecution of discouragement for years. You have been under the persecution of distraction for years. And you're looking at your life and you're thinking to yourself, it's never going to go anywhere. It's never going to go anywhere. I'm done. The wall was completed. Why was the wall completed? Yes! He didn't let criticism go to his heart. He didn't let discouragement destroy him. He didn't get distracted. Go do that. No, go do that. I'm talking to somebody today because you've been living under these things for years. And you're not. You don't think it's ever going to get done. You don't think it's ever going to get completed. I'm telling you, you need to hear this today. The wall's completed. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. True faith is always marked by a perseverance that will not give up. You know what God is calling you to do, and you just stay at it. Seeing success is more in the faithfulness than in the work. Now, before we end this passage, which I need to do quickly, how dangerous is distraction? How dangerous is it? Because you are distracted. You are distracted. We live in a world, like I said, that celebrates it. In Ohio, in the psychology department at Ohio State University, they did a study on the theory of distraction change in the reality of human experience. They took 26 people, and they had them focus on a color. There was a four-color spectrum. They had them focus on one color, but they would do a distracting light during their focus. And they asked the question, does distraction change the reality that we see? And when they did the study, the results show that people either selected the distracted color over that of their focused color, and being absolute confident that their wrong choice was right, or they overcompensated by selecting a tone of color that was the furthest from the distracted color. Like, I'll get this. I'm just going to choose something that's completely different than this. The conclusion was that after distraction, a person may believe in a different reality to that which they actually experience. Not only that, but the distracted person might not realize that their reality has changed. In fact, they feel great uncertainty in their new reality. Kim was distracted by abuse, and that abuse set her a course of a reality that was not real. She lived out the reality of the distraction by all the things she described for us. Her reality changed. Now, what is the real reality of Kim DeWitt's life? Yeah, the real reality is that she is a created child of God. God created her. He knit her together. He has a plan and purpose for her life. He loved her so much that at a young age, even a dad who was abusing her in her home took her to church. Not because he was so set on the fact that she needed Jesus in his life, but because God loves Kim DeWitt. And he wouldn't let her go. She is opening up to a whole new reality because of Jesus Christ. And because she is being able to give the forgiveness of what sin was done to her, forgive any soul ties, separate soul ties in her life, and she is being set free. And in being set free, she is seeing a whole new reality. And the distractions are losing their hold on her. You know, the interesting thing about Satan is when the light shines, he is just like termites. He has to run from the light. What about you? What about me? What reality are you living in? Are you living in the reality of the distractions that are in your life? A reality that's not real? Or are you living in the reality of Jesus Christ? Because I'm telling you, people of God, that's exactly where the joy of your life is going to be. You can't imagine the joy in Nehemiah's life when he saw that last brick put in place, when he saw that last gate put in place, because he knew the same thing that his enemies knew. Did you see it? Verse 16. When all the enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. There's been a lot of church that has gone on for a lot of years that has had no help of God. It's just been a religious experience. I'm wondering, are you builders and warriors that are sick and tired of the same old religion? And you're saying it's time to let go of the distractions and start to live for Jesus Christ and be a builder and a warrior for God in the reality that in Him all things come to completion. Because someday He's coming back and He's taking His own home with Him. I hope and pray that you and me. I hope to all my heart that you and me. Because we need that in our lives. Because a lot of us have been living useless lives. Lives that have been built on the uselessness of distractions, on the uselessness of what we thought was reality, and it was not. It was fake. Right, Josh? Yes! Yes! Josh is in the real football game now. And his coach has got him on the field saying, it's time to play the game. Amen. Amen. Stand with me as we pray, as we call our team forward. Core team. Bob and Carol start walking forward. And did I really call? You're leading us, so we'll get leaders up there. Sorry about that. Our praise team forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, here we are, family. You've brought us together, and whether somebody is the first time in this room or whether we've been walking with each other for 6 years doesn't matter, because your Spirit brings unity immediately. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're a God that does not bring distractions. You're a God that is pure and clean of distractions. You only bring the truth and the light of the truth. And so, Father, for some of us today, like Nehemiah, we have experienced the intimidation of distractions. We have lived our life just in the midst of distractions all the time. And we could go into the media and we could go to all kinds of things. But I'm just praying right now, Father, that you will bless the hearers. That, Lord, you will give them wisdom like you did Nehemiah. That when the personal attack comes, that you'll give them strength against that. When, Lord, somebody is not happy because they're not being intimidated and they start to publicly intimidate, that, Father, they'll just stand on the truth and on the wisdom of God and allow the wisdom of you to reign forth in their life. That, Father, when even they look at a church as a way to escape, that, Father, that will leave and they'll realize that you are a God that gives us strength to stand and look honestly into the face of our issues and the issues around us and begin to live walking into them and not running from them. Father, let that be these builders. Let that be these warriors. Let that be us as a family, that we walk in such a way that people say, "My word, what kind of people are these? There's got to be something different in them. They're not distracted. They're living on purpose for their Jesus." Lord, I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.